I'm going to be preaching this morning out of the book of Romans, and I wanted to just mention a few things about the book, just to give you a little background. You've heard much of this before, but it's kind of divided into two parts. It's the first part, which is chapters 1 through 11, kind of the more practical side, and then I'm going to be preaching today out of Romans chapter 12, if you want to prepare yourself. And beginning in chapter 12, it is mainly exhortations concerning Christian duties. It's interesting to me, as I've studied Romans throughout the past years, of the first three or four chapters in particular, where in chapter 1, the Apostle Paul is addressing the Gentiles or the pagans and talking about those who are without God and how they're without excuse. Then in chapter 2, it deals with the Jewish people, how the Jewish people are without excuse for their sin and for their rejection of Christ. And then finally in chapter 3, it deals with everybody, that all who breathe the breath of this earth are without excuse. In fact, Romans 3:23, that verse that is so very familiar, says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And this morning I want to read out of Romans chapter 12. And again, I'm going to read quite a few verses. I am going to preach out of mostly the first couple, but would you stand with us as we read Romans chapter 12 and beginning with verse number 1. I'm reading out of the New International. If you have a different translation, please just try to follow along. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think more highly of yourselves than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith that God has given you. Just as each of one of us has one body and many members, these members do not all have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to the other. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cleave to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the needs of God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality." Verse number 14. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink, and in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." The Lord will bless his word as it's been read this morning. You may be seated. I've entitled my message, "Your Reasonable Service," and there is a reason for a title, "Your Reasonable Service." It is because this passage of Scripture, for me, was memorized in a different translation. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'm guessing in a congregation of this size, we have some King James people here today. And when I grew up on the King James Version of the Bible, and that's where I memorized at least the first portion of Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And so it is defined in the King James as reasonable service. If you read the NIV, which we just did, or the ESV, which many of you have, both of those use words such as spiritual act of service or spiritual worship. And I'm going to get to that a little later in the message. In place of reasonable service, but the believer's reasonable service or spiritual act of worship is key in understanding our responsibility, mine, yours, as a believer. And we're going to answer three questions today that help us better understand what spiritual worship or this reasonable service is. And the first question to understand our responsibility as believers is, what is our reasonable service? The operative word there being, what is our reasonable service? What? And Romans chapter 12, verse 1, therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies a living sacrifice. As I was studying this, a thought came into my mind. This is such an interesting portion of Scripture because it's where heaven meets the physical. Offer your bodies, that's the physical entity, your bodies, a living sacrifice, that is spiritual, which is your reasonable, your spiritual service. And so it's where the earthly meets the spiritual today. That's where our worship comes into God. When we, as our responsibility as believers, is to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. There's a combination of the physical and the spiritual here. It's two worlds colliding, making a difference, as the text we've read, making a difference in what we do in our body. I know a lot of Christians, a lot of people, I should say, they love to name the name of Christ. They say, yes, I'm a Christian. But what they do in their natural body sure doesn't live up to that proclamation that I'm a Christian. It affects it. And that's what Romans chapter 12 is all about, is that the confession we make, the spiritual worship we offer to God, affects what is done in our bodies. Present your bodies a living sacrifice to God, which is your reasonable service. The living, fleshly, carnal part of you, present it to Christ. Give it to Him. The Greek word for present is the word that means yield. Yield it to the Lord. So what's involved in yielding our bodies to the Lord? It is to literally present oneself to God. Truly, we do that on Sunday mornings. We come together and we present ourselves to God. In my prayer before the service, I prayed that God would speak to you, every one of you, through the songs, through the words that are spoken, through the message that is preached. I pray that God would speak to all of our hearts through the communion service, that the Lord would be speaking to us as we yield ourselves to Him. It is our reasonable service. It is a living, the Scripture says, a living sacrifice. Somebody have observed that the only problem with the living sacrifice is that it keeps crawling off the altar. Well, we are a living sacrifice. We are the ones who present ourselves to God as a reasonable service. Hebrews 13:15 says, through Jesus, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly professes His name. 1 Peter 2:5 says, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. In the 35 years I've been preaching, I've never ceased to be amazed that God placed His call on my life to preach. I don't feel worthy of that. I never have. Before I go into the pulpit, I say, God, why me? And I'm sure most of you don't feel worthy of what the Lord Jesus has done for you. If you realize, if you stop to think about it, we, all of us, who were sinners, who were lost, who were alienated from God, have been brought near through the blood of Jesus Christ. My friends, it's an awesome thing. And I mean awesome, that we should be able to come near to God. One of the reasons I love the communion service so much, it's a time of drawing near to God. I used to hear say a lot, if you don't know the Lord, or if there's sin in your life, refrain from taking communion. But I say today, no, if you're struggling in your life, run to the communion table. Because we need to run to the grace of God. We need to find his grace today. It's your reasonable service. And present your bodies. It's consistent with the teaching of Jesus. Jesus said to the disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And so that's our reasonable service. The second question, understanding our responsibility as believers, is how do we present our body then? A living sacrifice. The how of Romans 12 is that we are to be presented as a living sacrifice. I appeal to you, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. A living sacrifice involves three things. And I was reading my trusty Thompson Chain Reference Bible, which is the study Bible I've used for years. It listed three things: consecration, self-denial, and self-sacrifice. Those are three of the things that comprise the living sacrifice. First of all, consecration. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, and ready for every good work. I think it is a good idea today, as we receive communion, to prepare yourself for the table of the Lord, to consecrate yourself to the Lord today. Secondly, a living sacrifice involves self-denial. Galatians chapter 5 says, but I say, walk in the Spirit. We talked about the Holy Spirit in Sunday school, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. 2 Peter 2:11 said, brethren, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage against your soul. Remember, I talked about heaven and earth coming together in this verse. And then finally, self-sacrifice is found in Matthew 16:24-26. Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And we all know this verse. It says, for what will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and forfeits his own soul? Or what shall a man give in return or exchange for his soul? So a living sacrifice involves being consecrated, self-denial, and self-sacrifice. Well, there's a third question, understanding our responsibility of believers, is why is it considered a reasonable service? The why of Romans 12 is that it is the reasonable service. It is the spiritual act of worship. The New English Bible says the worship offered by your mind and heart. I believe that captures it fairly well. It is the worship that you and I, as a rational creature, should offer to the Lord. It's the same word for worship that's used in Romans 9 in talking about the Israelites. And let me read that. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I'm not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brother, my kinsman, according to the flesh. They are the Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, and the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. And that's the same word that's used in present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your spiritual worship. Same word. And so there's two ways that it's interpreted. And hence we read it both to you this morning. One is reasonable service. The Greek word comes from the word logos, and it is the service of an obedient life, which is only reasonable or the only logical response to the word of God. Excuse me. And the second meaning is spiritual worship. The other way it's translated, meaning the milk of the word or the spiritual milk. And of the two, I think spiritual worship fits in there. But either one, comprised in Romans to the external, it's compared to the externals of Israel's worship. It's the internal worship that we have towards God. It's our reasonable service. In conclusion, our worship today is not about the externals. Please hear me. Our worship is not about the externals. It must begin and be carried on in the heart. Then and only then is it reasonable. And then and only then will it work its way out through our hearts and lives. That, my friends, is what reasonable service is all about. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, today, as we've talked about your word, the reasonable service that you expect of us, there's so much more to it, Lord. All of the verses that follow that talk about the working out of this reasonable service or spiritual worship, the ministry that you give each one of us, the gifts, the callings, Lord, it's all a part of the outworking of what's in our heart. And Father, I pray today that each hungry heart here today would experience that kind of spiritual worship where, first of all, it's in their heart and it finds itself working its way out through the ministry that they are engaged in. And we pray that you'll bless those ministries. And Lord, may you bless our worship. May it be acceptable, O Lord, in your eyes, we pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word today. We thank you for all it means to us. And Father, we ask your blessing as we go into this time in just a few moments of communion. Lord, bless this time of sharing together. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.